The urban walker has to march to the rhythm of the city in which he finds himself and demonstrate the same single-minded purpose as other pedestrians. Any modulation of his pace makes him the object of suspicion. The person who walks too slowly could be plotting a crime or, even worse, might be a tourist. Except for those who still take their dogs for a walk, children coming home from school, the very old, or itinerant street vendors, no one in the city has the right to a slow, aimless walking. At the other extreme, anyone who runs without wearing the obligatory sports attire could be fleeing justice or suffering some sort of noteworthy panic attack. Around 6 in the evening, when that last layer of daylight begins to detach itself from the objects in our living room, and the electric light only serves to blur the somewhat unclear outlines of things even further, I feel an urge to leave the apartment. A few blocks from my house are the ruins of a building, a mausoleum for television sets, suitcases, telephones, books, newspapers, dolls, families.
The elderly doorman.
Now,
the property opposite,
the pile of rubble is less than 7 meters tall, high, and on top of the debris,
from just before
there's
bigger,
a Mexican right. flag, cats, political propaganda, a scarecrow, and a couple of dogs. We are in the process of losing something. We go round, leaving bits of dead skin on the sidewalk, dropping dead words into a conversation. Cities, like our bodies, like language, are destruction under construction.
Thank you.
Close your eyes and listen. The surface of the city in its layers. First, the soft, invisible, untouchable white noise that nobody knows where it's coming from. Then, distant events. A motorbike far away, a siren, a party, loud sounds, but away from us. Violent strikes that become just points in the darkness of the sounds. Wind is approaching, moving the leaves toward us, pushing us. Some TVs are on, entertaining noise. Some people talk. Some people fight. Some people walk alone or in pairs, leaving a trail of sound. My shoes sound, my breathing as well, maybe louder than everything, covering all these layers and making waves of hearing of what I can perceive and what I cannot. Some people linger on the streets. The wind moves a metal thing that falls with a brilliant sound, breaking the glass and leaving me seeing for the first time. I walked out by the doors leading to Wall Street proper. Outside, people moved around, talking on their phones, presumably headed home, but I heard no traffic noise. The reason became clear right away when I saw the blockades that had been set up on both ends of the street, either for security or because of ongoing construction. Wall Street, from where I stood on the corner of William Street all the way down to Broadway, a distance of several blocks, was shut off from vehicular traffic and had been transformed into a pedestrian zone. What one heard was human voices and the click of heels on pavement. I walked toward the west. People bought food from a falafel vendor whose van was parked on the corner, or walked alone in pairs, in threes. I saw black women in charcoal gray skirt suits and young, clean-shaven Indian American men. Just past Federal Hall, I walked by the glass frontage of the New York Sports Club. Right up against the glass in its brightly lit interior was a single row of exercise bicycles, all of them occupied by men and women in Lycra who pedaled in the silence and looked out at commuters in the dusk. Near the corner of Nassau, a man in a scarf and fedora hat stood with an easel before him and painted the stock exchange in grisaille on a large canvas. A stack of completed paintings, also grisaille, of the same building seen from different angles, lay at his feet. I watched him work for a moment as he loaded his brush and with careful gestures applied white highlights to the acanthus of the six massive Corinthian columns of the stock exchange. The building itself, which, following his gaze, I now scrutinized more closely, was illuminated from below with a row of yellow lamps, and with this footlighting appeared to levitate. Darkened windows with thin bands of watchful light above the sills. Inside, the halls were dark and empty, filled only with the scent of dust.
Into the night.
We, our faces bleached from the cold, in our thin coats of black gloves, had clinging to us the evangelical diffidence of bell-ringing members of a religious sect. Determination, silent, timid, and yet pedantic. Our frozen alarm and fascination.
The doors closed behind me, and this assortment of inwardly focused city time still swirling in my mind, I found myself all alone on the platform. I took the escalator up, and as I came out onto the mezzanine level, I saw the ceiling, high, wide, and consisting of a series of interconnected walls, slowly reveal itself as though it were a retractable dome in the act of closing. It was a station I had never been in before, and I was surprised that it was so elaborate, because I had expected that all the stations in Lower Manhattan would be mean and perfunctory.
The night shift doorman of
the
my
glass,
building
the dominance
belongs
of
to that endangered species of people
as
who
well as
still smoke
of large
tobacco.
Potted palms under the columns made the room feel like an atrium, a greenhouse. But the tripartite division of the space
in the 10-minute period
of
beatific temporal suspension that make up the last cigarette of my working day and the first of his shift. The eternal return of this dark night of the soul. I've managed to strike up a friendship.
What came to mind was the florid Gothic style of England, as exemplified in buildings like Bath Abbey or the Cathedral in Winchester, in which the piers and their colonnades spray up into the walls.
What you have to do, he says when I get back, late and defeated, and we're smoking a cigarette together, shivering on the steps of the building, is to get out of here as often as we can.
Not that a station replicate the thrown tracery of such churches.
That way you get to know yourself better. Only come back to have a bath and eat, never to sleep. Because the more often you spend the night in different places, rooms, hostels, hotels, borrowed couches, other people's beds, the better. Sometimes the doorman and I light a second cigarette.